Yes. We put a Bon Jovi to start off the show tonight so we could get sitting in positions. And Brendan Kilcoyne used to do a bit of hip shaking that about, where was it, Charlestown?
Did you? Charlestown.
My God, I'll tell you what, there could be a few stories thrown out tonight, folks. Listen, welcome everyone to the DL Debate. Thanks, Katie, for the news. Of course, Ivan Borland, the legend Ivan Borland for the Power Hour Plus. This is the last show of the DL Debate, episode 5. So thanks, everybody. And show, Jerna Dan Blaine, last of the year. We have here coming live, OJ from Highland Radio. I want to thank, of course, Joe Dex, as ever, for producing, Head of Sport, Ash and Kelly, of course, Greg Hughes for the Monday chats and the setup, Caroline and Shannon, of course, Canis, who records shows if I'm ever stuck there on a Monday, if people can make it on a Monday evening. Canis always obliging to record up there. On this evening's show, we have a packed show in store as ever. Later on the show, we're going to hear from the main man of Gaelic life, Michael McMullen. We'll also hear from Maureen O'Donnell. We'll get a few words for her on. We'll also hear from Sports Journalist of the Year, Ryan Ferry. I have a couple of clips from Ryan to play now, and we have a few questions to go across. We're going to look back at the year that was 2024. We look ahead to 2025 even. We look ahead to 2026. And of course, we're going to talk about, you know, your favourite games, moments, scores, you know, something that you may change in the rules going into next year. Are you happy enough? Just leave the rules alone. I think a lot of people will be shouting about. And of course, what would be success for Donegal going into next year? A couple of wee shout outs just. I met Adrian Shields earlier, Max Mace. Shields, I said I'd give him a wee football chant to me and man, Adrian Shields. I was down in Ardrahan last week. I was down at Tom Diver's wake. Condolences to the Diver family, of course, great GA family. Damien the son played with me for years, and I met his aunties, who are avid Highland Radio listeners, and great crack with them, Philomena Greta and Mary Bartley, who says she is 24 hours. She's got it on the Alexa. Good on you, Mary. Fair play. That's all coming up on the show this evening, folks. Of course, I want to thank, as ever, as we end season 5, our sponsors from Sister Sarah's, of course, Kieran Brogan, and all at the Dryage Complex as well. Sister Sarah's coming on board there about 6 years ago. I spoke to Ash and Kelly about, you know, Donegal needing and Highland needing a Monday night GA wrap up show just to bring it together. There can be so much happening at the weekend just to look back at all the highlights and that. And Ash says, go and get a sponsor. The first person I spoke to was Kieran Brogan, and he came on board straight away and has been since. I mean, it's been a great partnership between Sister Shares, the DL Debate, and of course Highland Radio. We're looking to get a wee Christmas night away. I'm joined in studio by two men that might be there down at Sister Shares. We're going to go down for the feed. Brendan Kilcoyne is here and Pádraig Hulfery in studio. How are you, lads?
All good to be.
The big boy got called away. He had a wee family errand to run, so he's not in this evening, lads, but certainly he's be up for a wee night in Sister Shares, down for some good steak and maybe a couple of babies.
Well, I'm looking forward to see Brendan Kilcoyne dancing. You know, he kind of was shaking the hips, as you said, coming in. We got him settled in. So just
you were mentioning places you went out, and this man had DJed all the way down there. I just, you never know you'd find this Hulfery man.
Charlestown, no. Many years ago.
Dancing wouldn't be a strong point now. Even my 3-year-old granddaughter pointed that out to me, that I wasn't good at dancing to Golden, but I was good at football.
serious stuff, lads. You know, we're going to wrap everything up this evening about the year. And of course, I just want to mention the hurlers as well, you know, playing in Division 2 and playing the Christy Ring, and Setanta playing in senior hurling, Burt winning the Ulster junior title. Lot happening in Donegal GA, back to back Ulster champions, All Ireland semi final and final in the last 2 years. So, a lot of stuff going on, lads. And I offered Ryan Ferry just the chance to start us off in some of his thoughts on last year. And we'll start off with what he thought was the moment of the year.
In terms of moment of the year, I think Michael Murphy's return to the Donegal shirt against Armagh McCool Park in the league was something else. I think the McCool Park roof was going to come off the stand when he entered the fray, and then you had the subsequent headbutt from Aidan Forker. But I think probably what betters that was the closing couple of seconds of the Ulster final. Armagh ravenous to get the ball back. Stephen McMenamin and Finbar Rorty holding on to it, and the ball switched across the pitch, and Donegal declared Ulster champions. That was something else.
Yeah, good man, Ryan. Well, Brendan, do you know, I was kind of thinking today when I threw out the questions, sometimes there's so much happened in the season in club or county. When you go to look back at it, it's like you see a collage of stuff. And then you start to think, right, what big moment, you know, did I like in there? I know it scores a separate thing, but kind of a moment, it's kind of hard to argue it. I thought straight away about Murphy coming on against Armagh.
Yeah, my moment, funny enough, is Kieran Moore's last-minute winner down in the Hyde.
Yeah.
Against Mayo. It was just such excitement, and there was such a feeling around the ground. The sun was shining. Fergal Boland had his first touch, put it over the bar. Mayo was static. Next thing, Sean Patton, 10 seconds left on the clock, kicked it out the far sideline. Where Moore got the legs from at that stage of what was an exhausting game. And I just thought that was a fantastic moment in football. And to me, I enjoy that. Maybe it was because I have the Sligo Mayo rivalry, but it had huge repercussions because it put Mayo out, and it wasn't really for Donegal's benefit, but it showed play to the end, and there's always something there to be got.
Yeah, I remember interviewing Kieran after the match, actually, and just saying you guys just knocked Mayo out of the championship. And listen, he's not thinking that way at all. He's just thinking Donegal, of course. And he was kind of like, oh, whatever. He's so like water off a dog's back. It happens, you know. But that was absolutely thrilling. And I think a lot of things have gone against us in that game. You know, decisions and luck and even the way the goal, I mean, must goal chances. It was looking like it wasn't going to be our day. And so to have such an epic finish, what do you think of that one, Parik?
Actually, funny you mentioned Kieran. He was down in Termon, where we had the minor board presentation. And actually, there's one of the lads who coaches the under-10 side was me. He was from Mayo as well. So there was a big roar when I said Kieran Moore was coming up. And I said to Joe, do you remember this man scoring? I said it was a goal. It was a point. Huge occasion by Kieran Moore. What a score, you know. And just thinking about his progress over the last 2 years, it's just been absolutely phenomenal as well.
And on top of that, Mayo had caused Donegal a lot of heartache over the last 10 years. And a couple of late scores. Remember Kevin McLaughlin's late point to relegate them, I think, over in McCool Park a number of years ago. And that happened on a number of occasions. So there was a bit of backstory to it too, for more to do that. I
totally agree. You know, in terms of scores, and there's been some brilliant scores in there, and like I suppose Ryan's highlighting kind of parts of things that happened, and certainly I suppose that night, the kind of the buzz that Michael Murphy was going to create coming back in, you know, that was pretty magical, because you'd Armagh, they're all Ireland champions, the rivalry, the way he comes on the pitch. How the tension he created from Armagh. I mean, he completely just by his own aura and what he was bringing to the game, it was amazing that you could affect. Like, these are the All Ireland champions you're playing. On comes Murphy, and they completely couldn't handle the situation. And Falkirk, their captain, ends up doing one of the craziest things I've seen in a long time in a match.
Well, you're right in that moment. I put the questions out to a few friends of mine. You know, I just said, "Davies, give me a couple of tricky ones here. Give me a bit of help." And a couple of people asked, was that moment of Michael Murphy coming back on the pitch? You're right about the roar. That night in McCool Park, it was epic to see this legend coming back on. And suppose that night was one statement, but what he did this year was another statement. Yeah. It was just phenomenal, the stuff Murphy was doing. The one that comes back to me is the Ulster final, the one-hand catch. You know, that
Just thinking about that as you were talking, Mark. That was unreal. I mean, it should have been a mark. I think he was given a foul eventually.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was fouled and he somehow, it seemed like, and again, I don't want to bring his age into that, but I mean, it was a catch of somebody like you'd see in the NBA. It was completely off balance, stretching. How he managed to hold that, it was unreal.
And how Michael, I remember he came up, was it a year last, obviously, year before last he came here, me and you were chatting to him as well, but how that man has got himself into the condition to actually play senior inter-county football, first of all, and then to have the impact that he has, it's just phenomenal, in my view anyway.
Mm. I think as well, I suppose, I mean, you take in context, for me, a couple of the big nights leading up to the All-Ireland final, in terms of GAA moments, you know, I think even the show we did there in the hard court, like the Donegal people all coming home to be around there. I know obviously it didn't work out the actual final, but that type of build up, you know, it is so special and it's real. they talk about pulling people together and kind of galvanising a whole county. Like, the build-up to the final was amazing.
Yeah, and Murphy's influence can't be overestimated. He was absolutely phenomenal, and I would safely say that those maybe three or four games throughout the years that maybe if he wasn't on the field, Donegal mightn't have got over the line. But the 11 games were just the buzz it created all year, and the excitement and the joy it brought to the people of Donegal was just fantastic. So it was, and invariably all the big moments involved Michael, so that it, you know, even, yeah. You know, you were... Score of the year, I give it to you, my score of the year was Langan's goal against Monaghan. Absolutely phenomenal. But again, it was Michael's quick vision, quick ball from Michael into him and flack back to him and rattle the back of the net. Like, and all them big moments came from Murphy. Murphy had some input to them. Of course, it was a team, it was all around the team, but Murphy was just phenomenal. Like, you just can't overestimate, you know, his impact throughout the year.
Yeah. It's hard then to kind of put it against the year previous. So, Michael obviously wasn't there. We won Ulster. We get the semi-final. You know, it was Burnham Field game. We go away. Not much in it. But Michael's not there. And then when he comes back in, people were talking about him being the icing on the cake. And we made the joke he ended up being the cake, you know. But, like, is it something that maybe when he's there then he just channels and does things that orchestrates the team? It's not that the team miss him the same way you'd think, because people have fallen into position. You're not down to 14 men, you know what I mean? But he has just such, I suppose, an influence over everything that happens between the opposition, place balls, his leadership, his, as Brendan was saying, his vision, his calmness, you know.
It's everything, you know, and it's very hard to put it into the context, you know, but Michael Murphy on the pitch with him or without him, you would take him. I think everyone would say you'd want him on the pitch with you, you know, but just that level of calmness. And Michael, you know when he gets possession where it's going, it's definitely, you know, it's 99.9% going over the bar, or something's going to happen here with Murphy on the ball. Like, the crowd gets involved. He just brings that emphasis of excitement with him. And I was reflecting on your question again today, back 2 years ago where Donegal was to where we are now, back to back Ulster champions. We got into an All-Ireland semi-final in year one. Year two, we got into an All-Ireland final. Where can we not go in year three, you know? So it's just the aura of the man, you know, and we're blessed to have him. And my wee man's five, and, you know, the impact of Michael Murphy on a five-year-old is, he knows Michael Murphy, he knows who this man is, and, you know, it's just fantastic. And when you're coaching at underage as well, and I suppose it's not only Michael Murphy, it is the other individuals as well that they pick out, the Ryan McHughes and that. But it's that impact it has at underage throughout the county. It's just lovely to see. And the Donegal jersey being worn and the passion. Like, I've been over in England quite a lot, you know, and you hear people just, how's Donegal going? Are you hearing anything? Or how things? It's just the passion and the pride is there. It's back.
See, that's why I wanted to talk to Jim at the end of the season, because just what you're saying there, Park, there was a bit of a vacuum after the final, where there was a lot of toss at Donegal, but you're trying to context, right, as you said, from 2 years ago. We've had two remarkable seasons. It's been unbelievable. Yeah. Sure, the All-Ireland final for different reasons. I don't think individually anybody really, well, there was a couple of our players obviously were on it, Michael as usual, you know, but, you know, that versus the success that we had, you know, I think supporters maybe, I would have liked for Jim just to talk about that and just say here, that didn't happen for us on the day. We'll learn for that in the next year, but it was still two unbelievable seasons. So, you know, Michael's first point against Meath as well. Now that you're on about it, talking in there. But we'll get another reward from Ryan McMenamin. This is what he thought was his game of the year.
In terms of game of the year, I was at a couple of very good under 21 games over the last few weeks. The Neve Connell Terman senior quarterfinal really stands out. The game against Kerry and Killarney in the league was a cracker. But probably all in all, I think you'd have to go for the Ulster final, Donegal against Armagh, Clonus on a Saturday evening. It was brilliant, brilliant drama throughout.
Yeah, what do you think, Brendan? Terms of the drama, it's kind of hard to get away from that one, and the fact that obviously you're victorious as well, coming through by the narrowest of margins after extra time. That was the fourth Ulster final in a row went beyond the normal time. You know, it's such a tough place to be, but somehow Donegal seemed to find their moments, you know, particularly under Jim and Ulster.
Yeah, amazing, amazing day out too up in Clonus, and the atmosphere. And Clonus to me just encapsulates Ulster football. It's just a raw, and the passion and the full house of the Armagh and Donegal supporters, Niall O'Donnell's late score. I think Ethan Rafferty was just after putting over a two-pointer to level it, and then Niall kicks a winner. And Porrick mentioned then the Stephen McManaman and Finbar Rorty, and like what a year Finbar Rorty had. You know, we're talking about Michael Murphy, the elder statesman. This is the kid that came into the team, and what an influence he had on the team. You know, absolutely phenomenal. So like, I agree fully. Like, I don't think there's any question that was the game of the year. Like, and there were some good games throughout the year, you know, and enjoyed a lot of the club football, but nothing reached the crescendo that was reached that night in Clonus. It was just fantastic. And just the way the crowd bought into it, the joy afterwards, and everything about it was just what's good about Gaelic football.
Yeah, and Oisín Gallen came alive that in the first half. Yes, he was unmarkable.
It was 10 minutes of absolute.
There was there's one of the scores that he got. There was two Armagh men just looking to see what way he was going. Yeah. It was just the flow of play, and a couple of those scores. He just found form at that particular time. I mean, Donegal needed it, needed him really to find form at that particular occasion. But what occasion Ulster final days are. We're blessed to be where we be sitting and watching everything unfold.
Was the second half, suppose, of Meath? I never thought in any doubt, but Monaghan coming in at half time. I mean, what were we, seven down,
11 scorers on the trot we kicked,
I mean, that in terms of thrilling, I thought the Monaghan second half was a remarkable bit of football in there in her season, you know?
Yeah, but I think that was somewhat diluted. Crow Park with maybe 40, 50,000 in it. Sure, it's not the same as Clonus full house or anywhere full house. And you're right, like 7 points down at half time, came out and just blitzkrieged them in the second half. 11 scores in a row. Langan's goal was part of that, so it was. And it was brilliant, so it was. But the fact that the crowd... I don't know what was there at the time, maybe 40, 50,000, maybe just didn't feel as good as much as the Ulster final.
Yeah, it is a problem. But do you think we need another like smaller size stadium for that? I mean, after all the money's put into Crow Park, if you're taking games out of it, but they say that it needs 40,000 to kind of cover itself.
Yeah,
and then as you said, if it's taken away from the atmosphere, I mean, you'd be better throwing an extra couple of concerts on there and having like a 40,000 stadium for the GAA that could be called our own to create that buzz. Because, listen, as you said, Bryn, the fact that you're thinking that way, and most people do, if we want our big games really getting the best out of them, you know, Dublin could do with another stadium of a smaller size.
Yeah, full or house, cramped stadium is just where you want to be on big sporting days. And quarterfinals or prelim quarterfinals, you know, at that stage of a championship, you're not going to get your 70,000-80,000, and that's understandable. So it would be great to have a stadium with 40,000-50,000 capacity. It's not there at the moment. It's something that maybe in the future kind of thing. But
well, if you look at Casement, you know, if that ever, you know, whenever it comes, you know. But now I suppose that game against Monaghan, you're reflecting on that. You know, it was a game Donegal looked, you know, they had a lot of work to do, but when they turned it on, they turned it on. Like, thing for me this year was you looked at players, how they responded after last year. Shane O'Donnell, you know, again, another fine, fine season. You look at Moore, you look at Langan finding another gear, and you look at, you know, different individuals stepping up, you know, as well. So it's not only a year of reflection getting back into an All-Ireland final. Pater Mogan as well, having another huge season.
McCall.
And Brendan McCall, all-star. Yeah. You know, like, we have a number of all-stars this year as well. So there's so many players that has pushed their game on as well.
Yeah, delighted for McCall. Just speaking of grounds, we were in a lovely ground yesterday, Brendan. I should mention at the top in the Burn Road. Brilliant facilities down there. What a day.
Oh, man.
two drowned rats. Listen, fair play for Masses. We're brilliant on the day. I mean, it was tough in Glen Swilly. You'll hear it in interviews up on the highlandradio.com. Big Neil Gallagher spoke to us kindly after the game, so did John Kennedy, the Four Masters coach. And Bryn, we were just looking, there's no weak points in this Four Masters.
Yeah, I was chatting to Porrick about it before you arrived yourself this evening, Brendan.
Yes.
And that's exactly it. No weak link. They can still bring in quality players, so they can from the line. 38 players togged. Yeah. Quality on the sideline to come in. Won the minor championship 2 weeks ago, six of that minor team starting yesterday, and just quality all over the field. But like, when you've been two inside forwards, two corner forwards like Conor McCall and Senan Carr at that level, my God, they're just phenomenal, like, when they turn it on. And you have to give great credit to Glenn Swilly. I thought their battling qualities were just exceptional. They really fought and fought for everything. They lost their leader, Donald Gallagher, early in the game with a shoulder injury. Very unfortunate for him and the young Enright lad at midfield. But they battled the whole way through. But you have to say the quality of four masters in what were atrocious conditions. It took me about 3 hours to... I felt the cold went through to my bones kind of thing, you know, that it was that wet and cold down there. But fair play to four masters and exciting final lineup next
big
week.
Yeah, final hit. Park, your man coming up a bit short on the day.
We just didn't perform, you know. Yeah. I suppose Niamh Connell, like Shane Malone, kicking 1-4, and, you know, the McDavid brothers, who were saying, Brennan, you know, performed really well, and Finbar as well was immense, you know. And I suppose, you know, at half time, I think it was 1-7 to 2 points, Terman came out in the second half, controlled a little bit of the ball. Patrick Fagan got a goal. Unfortunately for Patrick, went off with an injury. So, you know, that was a big turning point from
Terman. He got
Terman.
A nasty knock, didn't he?
Nasty knock, a couple of stitches in the head and that, you know. Yeah. But, like... you can't take any away from Niamh Connell. You know, they were probably the better team on the day. You have to look at it in that way. And again, it's going to be an exciting final. You know, it's again Niamh Connell and four masters. Niamh Connell, they'll not care who they're playing.
No, and the quality at under 21 level is exceptional this year. In the last couple of years, it really, really is exceptional. Like, you look at last year's final, Glenn Swilly and four masters. There was only three starters from last year's final that didn't start yesterday. The rest of them are all, and I think most of them are underage again next year. Most of them four masters guys are under 21 again next year.
Yeah.
Scary for everyone that night.
But you said a great final in store, and we'll probably be down covering it, Brendan. I say reactions up on the HighlandRadio.com from both sides. We're going to get a wee word now from Ryan Ferry. Of course, that's the Ryan I meant to say last time.
For score of the year, I'm looking at Shane Malone's two-pointer for Niamh Connell against Gweedore to keep them alive in the county final. I'm thinking back to Kieran Moore's brilliant winner against Mayo, which knocked Mayo out of the championship, and Roscommon. But I think for me, it has to be Michael Langan's brilliant, brilliant goal against Monaghan in Croke Park. It was just a hugely important score at the time, and a goal I think we'll talk about for many years to come.
Yeah, hard to argue with them once. We already touched on them a bit there. You know, they were real light up the scene moments, weren't they? You know, I met actually Martin Regan last week down in the Glenties. We were talking. I was just talking about the roller coaster season, and that's Shane Malone, I suppose, the score he mentioned. I mean, looking back at it now, I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, Niamh Connell just kept digging it out.
The audacity even to take it on, like, it was under so much pressure at that stage of the game, and that's the confidence of youth. No fear, just had a swing at it.
Yeah.
As you used to do, throw it up in the air and hit a whang.
But Ing Park, you probably knocked over a few of them in your day.
Nowhere near that level now. What a score. Yeah. What a time to do it as well, you know. But Oran Doherty did really well down the corner. We kind of spotted him. I think Shea caught the ball in midfield, first of all, didn't he? Fed it to him, made the run. Mm-hmm. But again, just the dummy and the outside of the left foot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think, what a score, you know. But how the championship this year, I really enjoyed in Donegal. I thought it was, like as you said about Niamh Connell, we did the Ardra game, and Ardra had Niamh Connell beat, and somehow they came out with a victory, you know. It was just typical of their season. I remember Brad is saying to us, look, we started this way a number of years ago, and we went on to win it, and sure enough, the same thing happened again.
But to do it in, they did it against Ardra, they did it in the quarterfinal, they did it in the semi-final against Four Masters. They were 3 points down in the second period of extra time, only that Kevin McGettigan in goal, which was a brilliant goal too, over the top when needed, kind of, wasn't it, Kevin McGettigan?
I think you're right, yeah.
And they just showed great fortitude and what you expect from Niamh Connell, that just never say a die attitude, just grind out the win. And of course, this quarterfinal against Termon.
Was it any worry at all, Park, the fact of the Ulster defeats the three teams? Is there anything to look into in that? Or what do you think? Because people said to me, a guy said that to me up in Clonus, and I was kind of, well, it's very hard to gauge because different teams, different years playing each other. You know, the Cairn Donagh game was very tight.
Kieran Thompson was a massive loss.
Kieran Thompson was a loss. It's probably the manner of the defeat. Certainly by Steve Connell and by Glenn Colmkill was a bit worrying. So, but then again, that's a top class Scotsdale team who are, you know, just every year they're aiming for an Ulster title. Yeah. You know,
it's a difficult one because, you know, when you look at Niamh Connell coming out of Donegal was it as competitive as it was other years? Potentially was. You know, there was a, you know, the new rules coming in was a bit of a factor. But Scotstown, I think, is, what is it, 10 out of the last 13 or something they've won, you know, and Monaghan. So is it fair to say that they've got another opportunity to build, you know, over the years rather than Niamh Connell? And to be fair to Niamh Connell, you know, I thought this year, right now, they have to do something in Ulster, you know. Unfortunately for them, they go up against Scotstown. But look, it is a difficult one to answer, Brendan. But from a Donegal point of view, Ulster, do we give it as much respect? I would say Niamh Connell, you know, probably do. But Unions unlucky last year. I thought you guys had a, you know, Eric O'Kearn beat you. Obviously, they went on to win that, you know. So, look, injuries, things like that. There's so many things.
In a one-off year, it's kind of hard.
Away game, 4 weeks from county final maybe didn't help them.
That's true.
In hindsight, you're all looking at these things in hindsight, so you are. But I don't think it's a major, where it's disappointing that, you know, Cairn went out, Niamh Connell went out, Niamh Columba went out, the early kind of, it's disappointing. But I don't think it's something that to overly read into.
Like in Cairn, you know, it was tit for tat in that Emmyville game. Like it was a real ding-dong battle there as well, you know. So, you know, there was one or two decisions towards the end which you were going, I remember Conor Donald going up to catch the ball. He brought it down and the referee said, he threw the ball free in.
That's right.
It was just the most... bizarrest free in you could ever see. But look,
Listen, when you think about that too, after, you know, Niamh Patrick, you're saying like the run that they had, that was just last season. So listen, we'll not worry about that for now, folks. After the break, we're going to hear Michael McMullen's going to join the conversation back after this. The time is almost 7:36 here. Welcome back to the DL debate. Michael McMullen, are you hearing us loud and clear?
Yeah, perfect.
Good man, Mal. Listen, before we get to a couple of your moments and your score of the year, we're just on to the rules here. Now, Ryan Ferry says he was happy with the rules. He would like to get rid of the fisted point. I just wonder, Mel, we all know how they've lit things up on that. Are you happy enough with how they are now? The only wee thing I was thinking, Mel, was maybe free kick, two-pointer free kicks. It's quite simple for some of our very talented men. Maybe free kicks only are a point. That's the only wee thing I was thinking. Only from play, two-pointers. What's your take?
From day one, it's the kick-out arc just has to go. That's just simple as that for me. The longer the season went on, I think the two-pointer needs to go because of all the windy venues we go to watch games at. So they need to go for me. The three up, I think it has to be black and white, as in the dashed line. You know the way this thing that, you know, where there's 4 metres grace? Every lines person's different. So those are the ones. But by and large, it's definitely a far better game. I would add in one other thing that I think needs to be sorted out. If you've got a venue without ball stops, this carry on of balls being kicked onto the pitch and slowing up the game is just... It just needs to, the officials need to be able to get somebody to go on and take the ball off so the game can continue. But by and large, happy enough.
The Derry Dark Arts, like, you know, it doesn't happen to Donegal that night, does it?
It happened in Kilcoo and Lochmacrory was where it happened at its worst.
You have a lot of people thinking about a lot of things in the background there.
Dark arts.
You happy enough for the rules, Brian?
Yeah, and I would have been conservative enough in my approach to them before they were introduced, but like, you can't argue them in some fantastic football all year. There are a couple of tweaks. Listen, you're never going to get a perfect set of rules, or you know, you can always try and chop and change, obviously, to make things better, but there's no such thing as perfection when it comes to rules in any game, be it Gaelic football, soccer, rugby, whatever it is. But the one that I'd have the same qualm with you, the 2 point free, to me, watching goalies coming up the field, standing over the free for 60 seconds.
There's nothing attractive about it.
It doesn't deserve a 2-pointer in my book. But listen, you're right and you're wrong about things.
If it's a contentious free as well, I suppose. Yeah. Michael, just on that with the rules. So, you know, taking away the arc, what do you allow for a shorter kick?
I think just from the kick out side of things, just to bring variation, because a goalkeeper needs the variation to the game, or else it's going to be one-dimensional. You're going to have a load of kickouts that are going to land along the arc. And for want of a better term, Brenton, it'll just be a baiting and slapping session for a breaking ball.
Yeah.
And to my mind, that's not really entertainment for me. It's some people might think it is, but that's not for me. I would actually add in a 2-point or from play from outside the 45. and it means you don't even need a New York. And as Adrian McGuckin, who coached a lot of players through St. Pat's Mara, probably one of the greatest coaches has ever been in Ulster, as he says, if somebody scores a point from outside the 45, well, knock yourself out and fair play, 2 points. But I use Owen Beggan as an example. You'll use Mara Gallen as an example. Somebody listening in from Nora County will have visions of a windy venue, and the kick-out arc and the two-point arc, it just can absolutely destroy a game. And I think if anybody looks at Lavey and Kilray in the Derry Championship this year, it ended up 16-0 at half-time because one team decided to play. Once they won the toss, they actually changed their team lineup. Lavey changed their lineup to suit the wind and built up a 16-point lead. And it's okay in a calm day in Clonus. We've got Sean Patton versus Ethan Rafferty, who are brilliant kickers, and it's not one day. That's great. But how many times do we get that?
Yeah, indeed. And you know what? I was kind of thinking the big panic about the rules and the club and that. Now, there was a bit of teasing early on, but by and large, the players all bought in very quickly, and it became, you know, not an issue. And I know come championship and linesmen and umpires and that, it was a bit better, but players very quickly realised, you know, if we don't do what we're supposed to, we're going to get penalised and on the line. And that happened
it
very
certainly
quick.
It certainly has tidied it up to a huge degree, so it has, Brendan. Yeah, I agree with that.
Helped refs, I think, the new rules as well. You know, there's a wee bit more power there for them if there is an issue or someone's having a chat back to them, it's brought forward. And, you know, I'd say that's a positive thing for refs. Yeah, you know, yeah. There's not
a
much
chat back. I like that. That sounds very gentlemanly. Excuse me, referee. I am not happy with that decision.
We'll have to make them up here. Yeah.
Just on Mal's point there, we had an incident in Termin yesterday where the keeper didn't, the kick out just went up in the sky and took it back down under him.
Yeah.
In horrendous conditions.
What was he going to do?
I would actually add one more to that. The handing the ball back is just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Say Finbar Rorty is playing for Niamh Connell next year and he bounces the ball twice and it's a free. Finbar just has to release the ball and it's up to the opposition to go and get it. Why does he have to walk 10 metres to give it to somebody?
Well, do you know what, Mal? It's very interesting you said Finbar Rorty because
the
Ulster under 20 final was for me decided by that very incident. Donegal were a point up. Mm-hmm. Finbar Rorty took a couple of heavy tackles. He thought he might have been fouled. He turned to look at the ref. He'd blown his whistle. And within a split second, it was Falloon. He gave a free in and brought the ball. It was a free, for overcarrying, but then he brought the ball right inside. Throne got the equaliser and went on to beat Donegal. So that's interesting you say that. Mal, listen, just conscious of time here, Mal, your favourite moment of the year, score of the year, what were you thinking? Because we're all thinking Donegal, whoa, here, what were you thinking?
Well, here, moment of the year, you're talking to Derry, man. We didn't win a game, so...
I've had
to use two moments. Actually, the second one I had down, and Ryan Ferry stole it on me. Murphy coming on as a sub. I was in the stand that night in McCool Park, and as a neutral, and wasn't taking notes. Was just watching it as a game. The roof absolutely exploded. You had to be there. TV didn't do it justice. But my moment is, I said it before, it was Loch McCrory winning the championship and being there on the pitch, seeing the celebrations, seeing people crying with emotion because it was just far more than a game of football. And I just was, and then I suppose with Kieran Mina and a few boys around the club putting so much effort into developing them and then to win the biggest prize, it was just magical, to be honest. And my only regret was I didn't go to the Monday Club because it would have been even better.
It wouldn't have been a regret on a Tuesday, but no, I get you, Mal. Mal, score of the year?
Score of the year, found this one quite difficult. I'm going to throw a few quick ones at you.
There better not be any of Kerry's in the Ireland final. That's all I'm warning you.
There is. The score of the year, and I'm sure the four Masters men will be pouring over this. I'll put it up on Twitter later on. Dungiven Miners scored a goal in the county final against Loop, a belter of a game. But I actually sent it to a member of the FRC. It's football has, I would love to see it played. Kick out to the middle, caught clean, man off his shoulder, kick pass, support runner, back of the net, a boy Paddy Higgins. Just everything that you would want from the rules, and I'll tag you on Twitter, Brenton, and you can give it a wee share later on or whatever. So no that, for me, though. That's the I like going with Shane Malone's two pointer. Intercounty ways, Donegal people won't like this, but Dylan Guinea's point after 11 seconds, why? It was a sheer purpose at which Gavin White drove through the middle. And for me, that was a statement of, we are Kerry, we are here, we're going to win, Sam. And it's I remember chatting to a few people in around the hard court that night after it, and it actually set the tempo for everything. So, and it was so important. And another couple I'm going to throw at you was David Clifford against Armagh. One with the left, one with the right. The one he scored with the right, he chip-lipped it with his left. You know, all the scores. But here, the amount of games you go to, how do you pick one? But given Mainers has everything in it.
It's funny, Mel, as we were saying at the top of the show, when you look back now, there's just so many memories in there. You'd have to probably sit down and start to go through a bit of information. There's just certain ones off the top of your head, roll, mm-hmm. as we were mentioning earlier. Maureen O'Donnell, Mo, are you there?
I am indeed.
How are you getting on, Mo? Listen, we're having a wee end of year loving here, so we are all having the crack, Kay.
I can hear that. How am I going to follow on from all of that now?
Hey, we're going to get you down for the Christmas party, and we'll hear the real stuff then of what happened in the year. Mo, you're flying.
You're always after a party.
For sure. My poor lover. Mo, you had a great time all year. The streaming worked well for you. New thing in Donegal. Of course, we're all involved in it here. Me and Brendan were even there, still at it at the weekend there. So it's been a great new addition to the club scene here.
100%. I think it's just I don't think people really could understand how well it would have worked out. You know, when they heard it at the beginning, like, because there is an awful lot of people who like to go to games, but you can't. The amount of games that are happening in different venues all over Donegal, all over the club championship, you know, it's just impossible to get to all of the games that you want. But like with some of the streaming services this year, it brought, you know, I think the club championship to life. And, you know, I think people love to tune in and to listen and, you know, watch even some of the moments of the games back as well. So I just thought it was fantastic. And for anybody who couldn't get out or for anybody who was away, you know, it just meant that
We just lost her small.
Yeah. One factor as well, we forgot to mention. Louth.
Back, Mo.
Oh, she's back.
She's back, I think.
Sorry. Did I lose you there?
Just lost you, but that's what happens when you live in the house.
The streaming's back.
There we go. We're back online again. This is what happens with technology.
Good Mo.
What point did I cut out there anyway?
Yeah. Oh, you're all right. You were just in the middle of that wee wrap up for us about the streaming.
Right.
You only lost the last couple of seconds of it.
Okay. No bother at all. Listen, I just thought, to be honest, personally speaking, and from a lot of people I was chatting, that was very, very good.
And Mo, tell me, I know it's hard there coming on at the after us all. We were highlighting some of the moments of the year, scores of the season. Was that similar for you?
Yeah, listen, you touched everybody, nearly touching on all of them there, I suppose, like Kieran Moore's classic one against Mayo. But, you know, I suppose in county terms, I have to say my favourite score, and I love him as a player, was David Clifford's point, you know, at the end of the first half. I just thought it was phenomenal, you know, the way he was waiting, and he just made the move at the right time and, like, just pulled off one of the best scores I've seen. So that for me was just lovely. And
there's honesty now. There's honesty.
Yeah, but sometimes we don't like honesty. Like,
we're lying away to each other here.
Phenomenal. Yeah, it was phenomenal. She's right.
Yeah, you know, just it said everything about who he was. You know, he was just waiting. He would think he was not going to do anything.
You could see it coming. You could feel it coming.
Yeah. And he was just calculating his move, and he just had it just at the end of half time. You know, so I loved that. And look, probably Johnny McGruddy's two-pointer on 58 minutes as well for me in the Downings versus Niamh Connell game, that one day game we were down at, you know, as well. Like, there was nine or ten two-pointers there. And look, Michael McMullen was talking about taking away maybe to the impeachment of two-pointers. I just thought, for watching the championship this year, and I know conditions were one day, but I think, you know, there's a certain level of skill with that, like, as well, and you're always going to go out and face them elements, but the two pointers just made some of the more boring games they brought them to life. You know, I feel like if you had taken the two-pointers out in those days when the conditions were poor and very, very poor, you could have ended up with low-scoring games, maybe games that wouldn't have had as much bite to them. So I just thought they were super. What the two-pointers brought to the Donegal Championship this year was phenomenal. When you thought teams, never a team going in maybe 8 points down, were out of sight at that stage, because you always knew in the second half they could crawl it back through those two-pointer opportunities if they created them.
Yeah, first class. Folks, I only want to hear from you about the season ahead. Of course, Mal, you can go from a Derry perspective, because it's going to be exciting for Derry. I think we're a new management in here. Here's what Ryan Ferry had to say on it.
It's definitely going to be a big season ahead for Donegal. I think when you look at the age profile of the team, you know, you have a lot of players, you know, towards their prime year. So, you know, they mightn't get that many more opportunities, and I think it'll be a real determination to do something. I think you're looking at it, you know, the three in a row in Ulster has eluded us in the past. I think Donegal will really want to do that and get their hands in the Anglo-Celtic again. And for me, it's still the best route forward to have that provincial success. And, you know, there's a lot of strong contenders, but I think, you know, if Donegal can get to the latter stages with all their main men fit and firing, you know, I think they'd take it and see how it plays out from there.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Brendan?
Yeah, success breeds expectation, Brendan, and the expectation now is that Donegal will push on and drive on, and that's a good thing. So it is, you know, it's going to be very difficult, obviously, but the fact that there isn't a preliminary round this year, the fact that the structure of the All-Ireland Championship changes next year, that you could win the All-Ireland in 8 games, I think, by my calculation, I could be corrected on that, as opposed to 11 last year, could make a huge difference, because that was such a demanding schedule on Donegal last year. So it was 11 games, 10 to get to the final. And you'd have to think that there were a couple of injuries, but knocks been carried into that final too. So I think Donegal aim for Ulster, obviously going to be hugely difficult. There's, you know, around every corner, there is a trap. But go win that and then push on from there. And, you know, I think we've every reason to be hopeful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look, we all know what we're looking for, and we've got very, very close over the last year, obviously. But no, it's something you want to be in the mix for, and something hopefully we will be in the mix for. But I'd love to see a little bit of Donegal underage success. I'd like to see a minor team coming under 20 success as well. I think it's so important. We've been very focused on the seniors. Underage, we need to start packing up trophies, you know.
Yeah, and I think on the underage thing, I think the under-20s have a brilliant chance this year, a really strong under-20 team. But I think the fact that they're competing really strong at minor and under-20 level over the last number of years will stand to them and bring them players through.
Still be a benefit. What do you think, Mal? There's been plenty of success at underage in your county, and it's been a tough couple of seasons now, but certainly, I think, an exciting chapter ahead for Derry.
Yeah. Quickly, just on Donegal, I'm just interested to see the Shane Malone make a cut at inter-county level, so it's a name I'll be looking out for. From Derry's point of view, Brendan, need to get the spark back. Number one priority, spark back, get people going to games, getting a team playing with just winning games, getting the county behind it again. Promotion, not the end of the world, but they need to blood through 5 or 6 new players to make the squad a lot more competitive. And obviously, like Park, you're chatting about the need for Donegal. I think Donegal as a community, as underage structures, have definitely improved, albeit they haven't got the trophies. But from Derry's point of view, is sort of fed up talking about good minor teams. Yes, they're good. We loved it. But it gets a time whenever you have to go from being a stepping stone to actually winning big games. And one of Derry's historical things, they have never beaten big teams in Croke Park. That's the big thing. Getting to Croke Park in a knockout game and beating a big team. I think Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final in 1993 was the last time Derry won a game in Croke Park at senior level where they may not have won it. It was a 50-50 game. Since that hasn't happened. So that's the type of things I'm thinking about. As regards Donegal, Sam would be the number one thing in the shopping list, I would say, when you've went knocking on that door.
Yeah, indeed. What do you think, Mo? Of course, big guy James Daly's taking over the ladies again, and a lot of things happening next year. Mo, looking for, I suppose, this team to take another step on in the LGFA.
Yeah, that's it for sure too. Like talking about your, you know, the way you see the Donegal senior men have taken off over the last number of years, and that's because you're bloody new players in, and you know your understrate age structures are consistent, I think, you know, and you know they're always there, and there's a lot of great coaches out there nowadays, and you know there's boys out training all the time, but like no more so with the ladies, you need that as well. We pushed on, I think, and this year they're introducing maybe an under 20. At 20 into the system as well, and the structure there, which will, you know, that age gap between 18 and 25 is where you kind of tend to lose the players, you know, they kind of drift off, and look, you've got the call of Australia now as well, and how good it is for some of our players out there. But you know, I think to try and improve, like for James in a way, and the squad, is that squad of players will be coming on now this year again, and they'll be staying together, so and staying focused. And look, it's about trying maybe to get out of Division 2 back into Division 1 football as well, which also helps. And look, I think, you know, some of the structures need to change in Ulster. There's only the two teams, Armagh now and Donegal, and look, I think Tyrone won the intermediate this year, so that means they'll be in Ulster this year. But it's poor when you go into Ulster and you've only two teams to compete against as well. So I think maybe they need to have a look at that and restructure some of that as well, Brendan.
Yeah, certainly. We're wishing them all the best, and we'll be joining them and reporting on them next year, Brendan. Mal just mentioned like Shane Malone. I know these four Masters lads are coming probably just a bit early yet. You know, like Sean Martin or even from your club, Kay McMenamin, someone like that you're looking at physically, they look like they're going to mature into that type of high-paced, you know, talented players that probably could play for the county.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And you're looking at Shane Malone, you're looking at Max Campbell, you're looking at Kean McMenamin, who's making good progress in his rehab from another injury. He's had an awful run of injuries. But, like, these guys are all on the radar of Jim and the county guys. He has them in on a kind of panel on a squad, extended squad, over the last number of years. And Sean Martin from McCool's, we Conor McGinty from McCool's, a lot of these players. And, you know, they're not all going to make the step at the same time, but it's getting them ready to make, when an opening comes for them, getting them ready to avail of that opportunity. And there is some, and that's not mentioning a lot of the other young talent that's around the county. And I think Donegal are in a relatively good place with the number of 19, 20, 21-year-olds that are around that will be ready to step up.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Folks, we're getting towards the end of the show. I'm just interested to know, because Ulster champions next year, well, are you flying a wee Oakley flag? Do you think it's possible?
Very possible.
Very possible. I got that's confident.
Need to see the draw first. Sure, it's going to be Derry and Donegal first, for
don't
sure.
You know? Not the preliminary round.
No, definitely.
Preliminary round in O'Donnell Park. And sister Sarah's up for the match the night before. You heard it here first.
Good plan.
Yeah, listen, Mal's
coming down on the Friday night.
He's coming down for the Christmas party too. He's going to stay with me. Yeah. I'm the good lady. We'll get the party on. Yeah, Mal, listen, I suppose, I think there's no, like, there's maybe, I think at this point, forget about the five, there's probably six teams. I mean, you'd have to throw even down the season that they had last year as a team would think, why not? You know, obviously people are going to be looking that bit ahead to the likes of Donegal, Armagh and Tyrone, maybe slightly with Mona and Derry, maybe talk them behind them, then down. But I think in the day, and them teams can beat each other.
On any given day, they are capable of taking it down. Are down ready to go push the whole way to an Ulster title? Probably not. I think you're looking at Tyrone, Armagh, Donegal.
What do you think, Parag, you on, Matt?
Yes, sir. Pundits for a reason, lads. You know what you're talking about. But I think, I think when you can't look outside those particular teams that you've mentioned, Bren, and, you know, it's going to be exciting down. You know, rate them off at your peril, too, because they don't mind
three,
an upset.
Three in a row, Mo, what do you think? It's a dangerous number, isn't it?
It is, and you know what? The pressure's always on, but as I say, Ulster football's so competitive, and it is for a reason. Like, it's probably the highest in terms of the provinces and in terms of competitiveness. So, but look, Donegal are there, and they're back-to-back, and that's momentum, you know, and success breeds success. So, like, and expectations are high within the county. But as you say, that's a dangerous loop to be in, to be the favourite tag.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we all remember Armagh that day in the lockdown, when it was a foregone conclusion we were going to beat Cavan for the 3-0. Wasn't to be. Mal, listen, thanks, Mal. Hopefully you can come down now in a couple of weeks and visit Letterkenny.
Presence, take down good presence as well. You know,
take us down a wee Derry jersey there, and
what size are you, Brendan?
He's Slim Jim. Well, thanks a mil as ever, and I'll be talking to you coming in the next season. Maureen O'Donnell, brilliant, first class as ever. Brendan Kilcoyne here, and Pádraig Helfferty, Joe Dex, and everybody who's contributed. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. The two lads are getting warmed up in the background here, and we'll speak to you in 2026.
Cormilla Magus,
top Andy.
Cheers to me.